They're in your bulletins. For those of you who are new, it helps you follow along with the message. Fill in the blanks and scriptures are here. They'll be on the screens as well. This is a message I've been preaching nearly every year. I've missed one or two since March of 1990. How about that? March of 1990. It's called Stepping Stone or Tombstone. And what I want to talk to you about today is a topic that I believe is really pivotal to your future, the future of this church, our effect, our impact on this area. Here at Abiding Word, the Lord's instructed us to do five things which make up our philosophy of ministry. They are teaching, prayer, fellowship, evangelism, and worship. And within the bounds of these five things, there are three things that God's speaking to the local church for us to do in this day, in this hour. They are number one, fill in these blanks. Number one, forgive each other. Two, love each other. And three, come together in prayer. What we're going to talk about today, boys and girls, I'm going to talk to you about how to overcome an offense. How to get over being offended. How many in here have ever been offended? Every hand should be up because every one of us. Something we deal with. It's a hard thing. It's something that just, it's difficult in dealing with. But there are three major types of offense. Number one, fill in this blank, the direct offense. That's when someone does something to us that offends us by word, action, or sometimes inaction. What we thought they should have done, but they didn't do, so that offends us. Sometimes you just can't win. Then secondly is the indirect offense. That's when you pick up the offense of another, which is never smart because you never have all the facts. Remember, there are three sides to every story: his side, her side, and then the truth is somewhere in there. And then number three is your own offense. That's when you offend yourself. Have you ever done that? You do something, you say something that you knew you should not have done or said, and then you end up looking in the mirror to yourself saying, "Dummy, why'd you do that? Why'd you say that?" I've done that. We've all been offended. So at the end of today's message, I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit baptizes us all in love for each other, for our families, for our coworkers, for our boss, so that we can move forward as children of the living God and watch what God will do. So let's make a confession of faith. Everybody say this after me. Say, I believe God's going to give me the ability to get over being offended. So here we see in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus gives us an outline on how to pray. We call it the Lord's Prayer. And it says this: after this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That's my denominational amen. But I thought you'd enjoy it. Jesus, after giving us these principles of prayer as outlined in the Lord's Prayer, he goes back and he reiterates one topic. He reviews one topic that he gave us in the Lord's Prayer. Because each and every part of that Lord's Prayer shows us something very, very important. Now, which part would you reiterate? Which part would you go over? Which part do you think is really important to you? Some of us would repeat the kingdom part. Thine is the kingdom. That's a section of the Lord's Prayer. Others, the worship part. Hallowed be thy name. Others, the paternal part. Our Father, which art in heaven. Some would go over the warfare part. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We got to fight the devil. Some, the giving part. Give us this day our daily bread. Giving, give us this day. See, all these are wonderful. They all need study and implementation in our lives. Yes, yet it's interesting to note that after Jesus gave us this prayer, he reiterates only one part. If you look at verse 14, what does it say there? He says, for if, condition, if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive, but if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So Jesus, after giving us this important pattern of prayer that we know as the Lord's Prayer,
It's like after he gets through giving this, he goes back and says, oh, by the way, if there's one thing that you catch, if there's one thing I want you to know, if there's one thing I want you to know that's so important, I want you to catch this. If you don't catch anything else, catch this. If you forgive, you'll be forgiven. If you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. And have a nice day. God bless you. See, I have a conviction that was shared with me by a brother 30 years ago. I'm going to share it with you today. And that is this: at every stage of your personal growth in God, the growth of the ministry you participate in your local church, God allows you to go through a season where you either offend yourself, somebody else offends you, or you pick up an offense, where you go through a time where you're going to be allowed to grow in the grace of God. And God's grace, that is something that is rooted in joy and signifies unmerited, unearned favor, undeserved blessing, which is a free gift from God. And the biblical pattern that I see for this is a gentleman in the Old Testament named Joseph, not Jesus' daddy, earthly daddy in the New Testament, but Joseph in the Old Testament. Every time God was ready to promote Joseph, something happened, pulled the rug out from under him, just knocked him off course. But it had been very easy for him to be offended and quit. For example, in Joseph's life, his brothers sold him into slavery. Hello? I mean, if my two brothers sold me into slavery, I mean, I don't know if they'd be on the Christmas card list here today, you know? But that's what happened with Joseph. His brothers sell him into slavery. Then he's in slavery in Egypt, and he's working for this high-up government dude named Potiphar, and he's at the house while Potiphar's not there, and Potiphar's wife starts putting the moves on Joseph, and Joseph runs from the room, and she tears part of his clothing and says, oh, Joseph came after me. So Joseph gets thrown into jail. Hadn't done anything wrong. And he's falsely accused. And then he's in jail, and he helps out these two guys, and they forget him. They say, oh, we'll remember you, Joseph. They forgot him, but he kept on climbing. He did not quit. See, I see Joseph as a springboard character profile to what really goes on in the life and the ministry of those who are called by God as leaders. Let me tell you something. It is up to us at these points in our lives to be test passers. Test passers. See, you can fail and flunk or pass the test and be promoted. We see all these young people up here today. They passed the tests. They took their finals. Aren't finals fun? How many of you hated testing? You hated tests. How many of you like tests? You just like, I did. I like. Damn weird. But you had to pass tests. If you didn't pass the test, if you didn't pass the Constitution test eighth grade, you could be straight A's your whole life. How'd you guys do in the Constitution test? Is that so good? Okay. But the Constitution test. Remember that? Here it's May. You're getting ready to graduate, be promoted. And they say, oh, by the way, you got to pass this or you don't get out of here. And it's very stressful for many people. Well, in life, you can pass and be promoted, or you can flunk and fail. But let me tell you something. As a pastor, I've had many wonderful opportunities to be offended, stay offended, harden my heart, and die. Now, hear me well. Letter A, fill in this blank here. Letter A, the greatest challenge of your life will be what you do when you are offended. The greatest challenge of your life will be what you do when you are offended. Jesus said in John 16, these things I have spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. See, Jesus said in this world we will continue to experience difficulties. In the King James, it says we shall have tribulation. Now, this isn't a promise any of us sticks on the fridge under a magnet next to God loves us and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Oh, I'm going to go out and have a crappy day. We don't put that. Oh, you're going to have troubles today. Jesus promised you're going to have troubles. But, conjunction, what's your function? He overcame the world. We can be offended by anyone at any time. There was once a woman in the Bible who could have been offended, but she chose not to be. And the funny thing about this is this woman in the New Testament was offended not by just some regular person. She was offended by Jesus, the Son of God. Let's go to the videotape. Check this out. It says in Matthew 15, this is from the Message translation. From there, Jesus took a trip to Tyre and Sidon. They had hardly arrived when a Canaanite woman came down from the hills and pleaded, "Mercy, Master, Son of David, my daughter is cruelly afflicted by an evil spirit." Jesus ignored her. The pastor didn't even shake my hand. Jesus ignored her. The disciples came and complained, "Now she's bothering us. Would you please take care of her? She's driving us crazy." Jesus refused, telling them, "I've got my hands full dealing with the lost sheep of Israel." She was a Canaanite woman. She wasn't a Jew. Then the woman came back to Jesus, went to her knees, and begged, "Master, help me." What'd Jesus say? "It's not right to take bread out of children's mouths and throw it to dogs." This is Jesus. Oh my gosh. They wrote books on this. It's called The Hard Sayings of Jesus. Why was Jesus? What was wrong with him that day? Having a low blood sugar or something, you know? Talking to people like that? But she was quick. "You're right, Master. But beggar dogs do get scraps from the master's table." Yeah, I'm a dog compared to the Jews. But beggar dogs get scraps when they fall from the master's table. Jesus gave in, "Oh woman, your faith is something else. What you want is what you get." Right then her daughter became well. Question, has God called you a dog lately? No. I didn't think so. The Canaanite woman, she kept her heart right. She believed. She spoke her faith. She received her answer. And this lady wasn't even a Christian. Yet in this world, and particularly in the church world, have you ever noticed how things that wouldn't offend people out there affect people terribly in the church? You know, in the world, people might do things a little bit differently. Now, I'm not talking sin, but perspective. For example, a salesman in the world might have a different selling technique. No one's offended by an honest salesman that does things a little bit differently, creatively, or uniquely. But in the church, if someone does something a little bit off kilter, a little bit differently, you can start World War III by how the bulletins are folded in some place. I remember once we went to a trifold bulletin back at the old building, and some people were like, it freaked them out because we went to a trifold. They were having a cow over it. How about if a woman gets in the pulpit? There's some places you go, if a woman gets in the pulpit, they'd have a cow. Well, we would have many calves here at Abiding Word because my wife preached the last 2 weeks. Well, you know, people get offended. Yet in this world, and particularly in the church world, have you noticed that things affect people differently? Also, this is one of my favorites. What color the toilet paper is in the bathroom holds deep theological importance in the end time plan of God for some people. This is what I call gagging on a gnat and swallowing a whole herd of camels. Now, may I be blunt, as if I already haven't been. If there's something going on in your church that brings change, if it isn't illegal, immoral, unethical, or unscriptural, if it's just a matter of taste, just go with it. Don't fight it. Don't kick. Don't, I'm not coming back here anymore. We used to do this, and now we do this. Just go with the flow. Why is this important? I'll tell you why. The fact is that through your life, and particularly at each stage of the growth of your life spiritually, and at each stage of growth of a local church congregation, letter B, God allows something to happen that will either be a tombstone to you, your personal spiritual life, and the life of your church, or it can be a stepping stone to a higher dimension of grace and learning to be the person that God has called you to be. Stepping stone, where you move on, you grow, and you go on with God, or it can become a tombstone in your life. In your life, in your family, in your church, in your marriage, on your job, in your neighborhood, you have events that take place that will either be a stepping stone or a tombstone. And what God wants to deal with Christians along the lines of is God wants to deal with us along the lines of unforgiveness and offense. bitterness can come up and come upon us if, conditional, if we allow it to. And what the Holy Spirit is speaking, He is speaking to our hearts that if we want to grow and be what God wants us to be in our life, we've got to decide to forgive. It's a choice. Okay? So in our emotions, we won't want to. Our flesh won't want to. Our flesh will want to retaliate. But the offenses that have happened against us in our individual lives will have to be dealt with. How? Well, sometimes Christians, we make decisions at some of the absolute worst times to make decisions. Examples: moving away, taking a new job, getting married, leaving a church, choosing which college you're going to go to. All important decisions, all monumental decisions, all decisions made at the crossroads of life where the input of the Holy Spirit is paramount, only to result in disaster because the decision was made when you were offended. Well, I'm just going to do this. I just can't take this anymore. I'm going to quit this. I'm going to start this. I'm going to date this. I'm going to break up with. I'm going to fill in the blank because you're offended. Well, what do I do, Pastor Scott? You deal with the offense. You deal with the offender by choosing to release it to God and give the offense and the offender to God and give the unforgiveness and the one you haven't forgiven to God. You see, I believe many things in our life are contingent on our willingness to cooperate with the Holy Spirit and forgive. Our lives' effect on other people, this church's effect on this community and this area will be marked and affected by our willingness to forgive. I'm talking about when you're getting down and depressed and you're living life looking in the rearview mirror, living life by what woulda, coulda, shoulda been. You can't live that way, friend. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't start getting old until you live life looking in the rearview mirror, looking at the past and how great things used to be. Sure, you can enjoy that, reminisce and talk about it, but if that's where you're living your life and everything today is just terrible and awful, you see, you have a choice. You're either going to live with your life in what should have been, could have been, would have been, or what really is, and what you're going to do about it right now. Let me tell you, people may have tried to kill something inside of you that God birthed there that you feel like you were supposed to be participating in or doing for God. And they're trying to do that to you, and you may have faced tragedy in your life. But are you going to keep on living your life, or are you going to die in the gifts, talents, and abilities that God has given you to be a blessing to other people in this world? You might be in a time of a starting over, a transitionary period in your life, a transitionary period in your marriage or in your ministry or in schooling. You may have had to deal with the loss of a loved one. You might be depressed or offended or hurt sitting here right today. Yet I want to tell you something right now. The decisions you make when you are offended are either going to make you or break you. The attitude of your heart must be the desire for the will of God in your life, not what I've got coming to me. Not me, mine, and mine. Isaiah 43 tells us this. Remember ye not the former things. This is so important. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Everybody say new thing. God wants to do a new thing in your life. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I'll even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Verse 19 says, shall we not know it? That infers that God might have a new thing, but we might miss the new thing because we're holding on to the old thing. You know? God might have something new for you, but if you're holding on to the old thing and you're not going to let go of it because I don't want to let go of this. I've had this for 30 years and I like it. And God might be wanting to do a new thing and give you a new thing, but you can't get it because you're holding on to the old thing. Folks, life's too short to live bitter, angry, and uptight holding on to the old thing. It's time to let go and move on many times. God didn't create us for that. Medical science tells us that 80% of all sickness and disease is caused by unresolved conflict in the human heart. Unforgiveness, tension, strife, stress, bitterness. How can God do that new thing in our heart that He wants to do because He loves you so much if we're holding on to the old things? You see, if we'll release the past, get it out of our heart and under the blood of Jesus Christ, give it all away to God. Which brings me to one of my favorite scriptures in this message, 1 Peter 5:7, because I get to tell a great story. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Casting all your care upon him, because he cares for you. The word care there means worries, frets, and anxieties. You can cast all your worries, frets, and anxieties upon God because he cares for you. Now, how many of you here have ever been to Musgrove Fieldhouse, Sterling High School, where the basketball team, volleyball team plays? You've been there? This was 1980-81. It was my junior year of high school. And Rock Falls was there to play Sterling. And it was the pregame introductions, and the place, gym was packed. This was back where they had the bleachers on both ends, and just like today, but then up where the weight room was, those were bleachers and those were filled, and the place was just alive and electric. It was going to be a great game. And that team ended up, those two teams ended up playing in the regionals and went triple overtime, and Sterling won. It was just wild. That was at Rock Falls High School. But this game was at Sterling, and I was about 7 rows behind the Rock Falls bench, and I'm up there in the bleachers, and we're facing the flag for the national anthem. Big flag there at that end of the gymnasium, and the music's playing, and people were just crowded all back going into the lobby area, waiting to get in, and once the national anthem was over, they could go get seats. I don't know where they're going to go because the place was packed, but you know, people were still trying to get in, and I hear a noise, and I turn. I'm all the way at the end of the bleachers, and I turned and I looked, and I saw some guys that I knew from Rock Falls. They had their fabulous green and black Rock Falls Letterman's jacket on. They're very handsome. And I noticed one of them, his name was Jody. He was a senior. There's like 3 or 4 of them. They're all seniors at Rock Falls. And I looked at him, and I noticed he was looking kind of strange. And I looked at him kind of going, what are you doing? What are you doing? And Jody's coat was moving, and he opened it up, and a pigeon stuck its head out. And I went, oh, God. Oh, jeez. He goes, all right. And when it got to the part, and the rocket's red glare, phew, 4 pigeons off across the field house. Let the pigeons loose. And off they flew. The Rock Falls fans went crazy. Ah! Sterling fans were upset because they're going to poop on their nice floor. But I talked to administration later, said it took them weeks to get them out of the rafters and stuff. And now, here's the funny thing. I was at a wedding yesterday. And at the wedding, I'm talking to one of my former classmates, and he was one of the guys down there, but he got caught bringing the pigeons in. A couple guys got caught. Other guys ended up in the bathroom shoving them out windows. 3 or 4 guys got the pigeons loose. But I found out this guy at the wedding, it was awesome, was one of it was his brainchild to do this. And I said, where did you get the pigeons? He goes, you want to know where we got the pigeons? I never knew this. I've been telling this story for 30 years, and I'm just finding this out the last 2 days. He said, over in the Avenue G Bridge, if you raise up one of the manhole covers down near Lawrence Park, he goes, you could go down under there, and under the rafters of the bridge, the pigeons roost under there, and we take a net, and we catch pigeons. I'm going, brilliant. This is great. So I got a little backstory on this story I've been telling all these years. 6 years ago, I was at a 4-year reunion for Rock Falls, class of 81, 82, 83, 84. So it was my junior year. And a bunch of those guys were there. And one, the Jody guy that I told you about, I see him. I hadn't seen him since high school, 30 plus years. And I came up, he's standing there with a beer, and I says, you know, Jody, I've been telling a story about you from the pulpit for 30 years. He's going, no way. I go, yeah, way. He goes, what is that? I go, the pigeon story. Oh my gosh, you tell that story? Ah! And Lonnie Fisher's there. He said he missed it. He was the basketball player for Rock Falls because he goes, I was pulling my sweats off. They had the snap sweats. He goes, I missed it. But Buddy Bennett was the starting guard. He goes, yeah, the pigeons were flying across the room. It was great, you know. But what does that have to do with this? It has everything to do with this. Casting all your cares upon God, just like they did those pigeons. You just give them to God. Those problems are pigeons. And if you let them sit around, they're going to poop on you. Going to be a mess. See, Terry, if Terry was preaching today, she'd have a pigeon in here. Cast your cares. Give them to God. They ain't got nothing good in them. Just let them go. Just give them to the Lord. Cast them. Toss them. Give your worries, your frets, your cares, your anxieties, your stress to God. Why? Because he cares for you. And say, Lord, here it is. You're not holding anything back from God. You're not going to be offended by the things that happen to you, the things that are thrown at you. How many of you know in life that things, that stuff happens? Stuff happens. Stuff happens to good, bad things happen to good people sometimes. But how you deal with that, how you deal with that stress, how you deal with the offense when it comes against you will determine whether you go over or you go under. You see, the offense will come from many different directions. Letter C, it'll come from your family, it'll come from your friends, it'll come from your enemies, and sometimes it'll just come from you. Personally, you'll do it to yourself. You'll offend yourself. In my life, I've taken offenses over the years and I've given them to God. I might stew in them for a day, and all that does is give you indigestion and stomach ache and chest pains and headaches and all that. But you give it to God. Those things from the past. So today I want to encourage you to take a stand. As long as you live your life in the fear of man, afraid of what somebody is going to do to you, what they're going to say about you, what they're going to put on Facebook about you, who cares? Who cares? I've been called an idiot by experts. I don't care. You just turn the page. But if you're going to live life under the fear of man and what they're going to say or do to you, you're going to live your life under their dominion, under their control, and you're going to live life defeated. Realize whatever you've got in life, God gave it to you anyways, and no more, no less. Nobody can put you out of the will of God but you. You might say, Pastor Scott, you don't know what people have done to me. You're right, I might not know what people have done to you. But think about the Apostle Paul. He came along one day, and there's this demon-possessed girl following him around saying, these are prophets of the Most High God. He turned around and said, shut up, and cast the devil out of her. And the people that were sponsoring her and making money off of her divinations and fortune-telling, what have you, they got all ticked off and had Paul thrown in jail. Now his whole life, his whole ministry is in jeopardy because he's doing the will of God, but he's thrown in jail for it. And Paul... was Paul out of the will of God in doing that? No, he wasn't. He could have thought, well, what would people think of me? I've lost my credibility. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. He could have been deeply offended. But this is the general attitude people take on when we get offended. Now, when you are offended, not if, but when, I believe God knows what's going on. God isn't surprised. He doesn't wake up one morning because he never sleeps nor slumbers. But God doesn't look at our situation one day and says, wow, ain't that something? I never saw that coming. Where'd that come from? Wow, Shazam! When we get to heaven and God's a hillbilly, what are you going to do? I'm telling you, the gates swing open and they're playing bluegrass. Dooley was a good old man, he lived below the mill. Dooley had two daughters and a 40-gallon still. Woo, come on in! Some of you all are going to be going, oh my gosh! And it's Cracker Barrel at the marriage supper of the land. Yeah! No, God isn't surprised by stuff that happens in our lives. He knows what's going on. He knows the score. You never catch him off guard. God knows about the things that offend me and the things that offend you as well. But at that choice, we have a choice to make. The ball's in our court. We have a choice to make. Will I speak blessings or cursings? Will I react in anger or respond in love? Will I take a stand up and take my ball and go home approach? Or am I going to grow up and be like Christ? Finally, grow up. You see, remember, at each level of spiritual growth, God allows something to happen to see what you're made of. God didn't send it, but he just allows it to happen. Okay, let's see how Porter's grown. Let's see what happens this time. But if you faint during the day of adversity, the Bible says your strength is small. My challenge to you today is this, to go on with God, go on with your church, go on with your life, go on with God. Just hold his hand. God may tell you to do things in your life that nobody agrees with, and you're going to have to choose to obey him. But the offenses that are pressing on you right now, you can't change them. You can't change other people. You can't change the situation, but you can put it before the one who can change the situation. And when and then when you do that and you've given it to God, then get happy. Get really happy and drive those people that are trying to hurt you, drive them crazy. Watch them go nuts because they see you laughing and enjoying life. That's what happened here at our church. 5-6 years ago, people would see me over the ensuing years, and I'd just be enjoying life and having fun and living life and loving God and loving people, and it drove some people crazy, and guess what? I enjoyed it. I enjoyed doing that. Why? Because I just love people. I just love Jesus. I'm going to go on with God. Don't be terrified by the opposition, but stand up in the grace of God. Show them God's grace. Show them God's mercy. Show them God's love. And if you have someone that acts as an enemy to you, a neighbor, a relative, a coworker, bake them a cake. Do something, and don't put poison in it or laxative. Oh, I baked them a nice cake and it gave them the runs. No, 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 no. That's not the love of Jesus. And you say, Pastor Scott, bake him a cake. Where'd you get that? The Bible, Jesus said it. Remember him? John, or Matthew chapter 4 says, Jesus speaking, you've heard that it's been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy, but I say unto you. See, Jesus is bringing a change here. You've heard up until now, you know, love your neighbor, hate your enemy, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Love, bless, do good, and pray for your enemies, those that curse you, those that persecute you, those that despitefully use you. Yeah, but Pastor Scott, they said, love, bless, do good, and pray. Yeah, but I want to do this. Love, bless, do good, and pray. But I think I'd rather do, no, love, bless, do good, and pray. If what you're going to do is not love, bless, do good, and pray, it's not Jesus. It's you, and you're wrong. Yeah, but they did this. I don't care what they did. Yeah, they were wrong what they did. I'm not saying what they did wasn't wrong. But what you're going to do is going to be just as wrong if it's not love, bless, do good, and pray. Amen, Pastor. I'm going to put a little extra in the offering plate just because of that. That's true. Letter D. Jesus brought a change of course. See, the rabbinical thought in the first century was you only forgive 3 times a day. 3 times a day you forgive, 4th time, knock them in the head. See, that's what in the Old Testament was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I hear Christians running around saying that. I see Christians writing that in their Facebook page. Eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. They look like Captain Morgan, you know, doing it. Having a little too much Captain Morgan. But an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Guess what? That's not Christian. That's Old Testament. Jesus brought a change. How do you know that? It's my point in the message. Look, it says change of course. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth is not the Christian way. It's not the Jesus way. So you need to flush that. You need to get that out of your life. Get that out of your vocabulary. Get that out of your way of thinking. Jesus said, love, bless, do good, and pray for your enemies, those despitefully use you and persecute you. See, in Matthew 18, it says, Peter came to him and said, we're just about ready to wrap up. And said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times? See, Peter thinks he's being spiritual here because he knows the rabbinical thought, the teachers of the law, it's 3 times. And Peter says, I'm going to double it and add 1, 6, 7. Oh, 7 times, Jesus? And Jesus said, no, not into 7 times. I say into the 70 times 7. Now you eggheads out here will go, well, that's 490 times. I wonder if it's 491 times. Shut up. You're not going to have to forgive anybody 491 times. What Jesus is saying here, you bean counters, is as many times as people sin against you, you forgive them. Whatever that might be. It might be 591 times, whatever it is. Jesus is saying you forgive if they come repenting. See, that's the difference there. Here's something you need to remember. Osama bin Laden. Did we forgive Osama bin Laden for what he did? No. Why? He wasn't sorry. You forgive people when they repent. If he could put a suitcase nuclear bomb in every city in the United States and killed every last one of us, he would have and wouldn't have thought twice about it. Why? Because he wanted his 72 virgins. That's his thinking. They found out now that's why the bombings have gone down, because it's not a 72 virgins, it's a 72-year-old virgin. And they just didn't want to, they didn't want to go there. Oh.
moving on. Am I all right? No. I'm getting the look. Matthew 18. Yeah. I'm kind of sweating. Oh, Lord. Matthew 18. And then we're going to close up shop. Then we'll be done after that point. Kingdom of heaven is like a man who decided to square accounts with his servants. As he got underway, Jesus is telling the story. As he got underway, one servant was brought before him, before the king, who had run up a debt of $100,000. So he owed a chunk of change. He couldn't pay up, so the king ordered the man, along with his wife, children, goods, auctioned off of the slave market. Poor wretch threw himself at the king's feet and begged, "Give me a chance, I'll pay it all back." Touched by his plea, the king let him off, erasing the debt. He not only didn't sell his wife, his kids, and his goods, you know, he could have just said, "Okay, don't sell his stuff, he can pay me back over 10 years or something." No, he forgave the debt, he erased the debt. Man, meet this king, I got a mortgage. The servant was no sooner out of the room when he came upon one of his fellow servants who owed him $10. He seized him by the throat and demanded, "Pay up now." Poor wretch threw himself down and begged, "Give me a chance, I'll pay it all back." Isn't that what he just said? Yeah, but he wouldn't do it. He had him arrested, put in jail until the debt was paid. When the other servants saw this going on, they were outraged, brought a detailed report. The king. The king summoned the man and said, "You evil servant, I forgave your entire debt, $100,000, when you begged me for mercy. Shouldn't you be compelled to be merciful to your fellow servant who owed you 10 bucks, who asked you for mercy?" The king was furious, put the screws to the man till he paid back his entire debt. And that's exactly what my Father in heaven is going to do to each one of you who doesn't forgive unconditionally anyone who asks for mercy. See, a merciful heart. "Forgive me. I was wrong. Will you forgive me?" When someone comes to you with that, they might be as wrong as rain, but if they come to you asking for mercy and forgiveness and they mean it, "Well, I'll get back to you on that." No, you don't need to get back to them on it. You need to forgive them if they're truly sorry. The big debt, little shirt sleeves debt. The little bad word, the wrong word, the bad attitude, the bad joke from the pulpit. When the king sent for the first man, you know, he goes, "What's he calling me for? He forgave my debt. What's he going to talk to me about?" He didn't know that the king was going to be that upset. The king said, "Didn't I forgive you? Shouldn't you be compelled to forgive your fellow servant for that when I forgave you of this much?" Why is this important? Letter E. Because spiritual power works off of one principle, unity. The place of unity, the place of agreement, is the place of power. And that's why Paul and Peter and John talk so much about it in their epistles to the church, about loving your brothers and sisters, about not being a backstabber, staying in one accord, staying in unity. Why? So we can have a little bless me club at church? No. Because the principle of the kingdom is that as long as there is anger and malice and bitterness and hardness of spirit, as long as that is present, the Holy Spirit will not move the way that he wants to. You see, the presence of the Holy Spirit came down upon Jesus, the Lamb of God, when he was being baptized by John the Baptist in the River Jordan. The Lamb of God. He did not come upon, the Holy Spirit did not light upon an angry, barking dog. But the attitude of, "Father, just as you have forgiven me the $10 million debt that I could never repay in my entire life, I choose to pray, 'Forgive me, and I'll forgive others in the same degree that you have forgiven me.'" "Yeah, but Pastor Scott, you don't know what that person did to me." "Yeah, I don't. I can't forgive them. You're right. I might not know what they did or what they said, but I do know what God can do if you'll forgive them. At every stepping stone, you're going to be allowed the opportunity to grow. And it'll come through something you do or something somebody does to you. And if at that point you'll get it under the blood and you'll remember not the former things, God will really birth new things in your life, in your marriage, in your church, in your business, in your job. And if we don't walk in forgiveness, really forgive stuff. Really forgive. And allow the Holy Spirit to bring us together and have a sense of coming together. The Holy Spirit will be hindered from moving in this church the way that He desires. But if it does happen, God is right now wanting and desiring to pour out of His Spirit upon us. And it's not contingent upon some slick preacher or light show or great music or anything else. But it's contingent upon the people of God really getting their hearts right. Not being offended, forgiving, getting over our offense, and coming together and seeking and praying and seeking the face of God and seeing how He'll surprise us with blessing and anointing and favor with God and with man. Amen. Praise God. Let's bow our heads and close.